Labyrinth 2 from the Scandinavian saxophonist Nicole Johannigan. And that track was called Elephant Walk. And what else do we have in that set? We had some music from The Bad Plus and a track called Never Stop. And to start the set off, we played brand new music from Miguel Zenon and his new recording live at the Village Vanguard. And yeah, I'm not going to mispronounce the name of the song again. It doesn't matter. But it's a fun track from what looks like a really intriguing record. So we'll come back to that again in the next little while. 3 o'clock on the dot. Reminder, this is CFRC, Kingston's campus and community radio station, 101.9 FM, CFRC.ca, if you want to do it digital. I want to play a long song. I like to take a minute, in this case, almost 11 minutes exactly, to just sit back and keep my headphones on and listen to music and not do much else. Just, you know, listen to music. And these are some great players. This is from a record that came out in 1997. The record's called Alone Together. It's a trio recording with Lee Connance on saxophones, Brad Meldow on the piano, and Charlie Hayden playing bass. They cover a lot of standards. This is one of my favorites. This is Cherokee. It's the long song. Thank you.
Tom Savage. We love our Spotify. We love our Apple Music. It's a wonderful thing to have all the music in the world at your fingertips. But the big downside is that these streaming services pay fractions of a penny per streamed artist, and that doesn't buy a lot of groceries. So if you're really digging an album, reach out to that musician or band, make a donation, buy some physical merchandise, help them keep creating great music for you. We can't rely on giant corporations to do the right thing. We as music fans need to put our own value on music. Let's keep that creative engine going.
Monday. When traffic's a nightmare. When the workplace is hectic. When your boss calls you in for a meeting. When nature isn't on your side. There's only one thing you can do.
But no need to wake up the neighbors. Tune in every Monday night from 11 p.m. to midnight for Shed Progressions, where we play an hour of cool jazz to help you relax after a long day. Again, that's Shed Progressions every Monday night at 11 p.m. on CFRC 101.9 FM.
We're not afraid to get a little funky.
I'm gonna live till I die. I'm gonna laugh instead of cry. I'm gonna take the town and turn it upside down. I'm gonna live, live, live until I die. They're gonna say, what a guy. I'm gonna play for the sky. Ain't gonna miss a thing. I'm gonna have my fling. I'm gonna live, live, live until I die. The blues I lay low, I'll make them stay low. They'll never trail over my head. I'll be a devil till I'm an angel, but until then, hallelujah, gonna dance, gonna fly. I'll take a chance, riding high. Before my number's up, I'm gonna fill my cup. I'm gonna live, 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 live until I die. Those blues I lay low, I'll make them stay low. They'll never trail over my head. I'll be a devil till I'm an angel, but until then, hallelujah, gonna dance, gonna fly. I'll take a chance, riding high. Before my number's up, I'm gonna fill my cup. I'm gonna live, 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 live.
A little bit of Sinatra there, closing out the set, celebrating some of the great existential questions. But also in there, Wallace Roney with a cover of a Bud Powell tune, Un Poco Loco. Joey Barron in there from a record from 1999 called We'll Soon Find Out. Great quartet recording. Joey Barron on the drums, Bill Frisell on guitar, Ron Carter on bass, and Arthur Blythe on the saxophone. And today's long song preceded that. Lee Konitz, Brad Meldow, Charlie Hayden, all together playing Cherokee from a 1997 recording called Alone. It's now 30 minutes after 3 o'clock. We got, less than 15 minutes of swing, swang, swung left. And then the football pregame show will jump in about 3:45 and then kick off at 4 o'clock. So stay tuned for Queens versus U of T on the football field this afternoon. Want to play a little bit more music for you, though. I'm going to start off this last little set with music from Ben Allison. This song's called Tricky Dick.
Thank you. I'd spin a low mommy, whoa, whoa, kill.
Yeah. Looking for the perfect lunch spot on campus? Do you want somewhere that's casual, comfortable, and affordable? Then head on down to the Grad Club at 162 Berry Street. With a warm, inviting atmosphere and an outstanding set of food and drink deals, the Grad Club will both fill your belly and lift your spirits. Follow at the Grad Club on Instagram to get the latest and greatest deals and offers. The Grad Club proudly presents Gales Game Day on CFRC 101.9 FM. Coming up next, the Grad Club pregame show.
And good afternoon, football fans. This is Jesse Bell here live from Varsity Stadium in downtown Toronto, Ontario, Canada, for the latest chapter in one of the longest-running rivalries in Canadian sports history, nearly 140 years between York Queens Gales and the University of Toronto, Varsity Blues. Thank you to our title sponsor for this season, the Grad Club. If you haven't been, folks, you got to rectify that problem in 2025. Located in the heart of Queen's University campus, the Grad Club is a premier destination for concerts, events, and private gatherings in the city of Kingston. The Grad Club and its staff pride themselves on creating a safe, inclusive space for all. Interested in booking your next event, function, or study group? Head to thegradclub.ca for more information. You're going to hear more about the Grad Club throughout the broadcast today, but thank you to Spence and Co. for their continued support of Gales Game Day on CFRC 101.9 FM. Folks, it's Queens, it's Toronto, a rivalry that began in 1887. Here we are, 2025, and both teams enter today's game on even pegging, level footing, with identical 1-2 records, albeit very different ways in which they got there. Let's, of course, start by talking about the Gales, and I think it would be instructive to view last week as kind of the ultimate learning opportunity for Queens. They have seen what the top-level team in not just the OUA, but all of U Sports looks like with both the Western Mustangs and the Laurier Golden Hawks. In my opinion, Laurier showed that right now they might be a cut above all other competition in the country, but the Gales, they hung tough. You know, we could channel our inner Eastwood, just in the cowboy way, don't worry, and talk about the good, the bad, and the ugly from last week's game. Let's start, of course, with the good. And to me, the good begins with the performance of number 12, Alex Vraken. He has played some of his finest football over the last 3 weeks, and he is displaying, as Coach Steve Snyder puts it, an elite compete level on every single play. He had nearly 50 passes last week, and he hit on them at about a 61.2% completion rate. He also tallied a career high, and this is not a typo, don't adjust your sets, a career high 391 passing yards and 3 touchdowns last week, with another 37 or so on the ground. Over 420 yards of total offense. This offense, I'm telling you, they've got sky-high potential. Vraken also looked very elusive in the pocket. His ability to extend plays helped the Gales avoid some big sacks and actually led directly to a fourth-quarter touchdown to Logan Walton. Sorry, Jack Ashby Jacobs. Logan Walton, he also had an incredible scramble leading to that one. He was all over the field last Friday night. We also saw some outstanding individual performances from, man, what a game, for number 10, Preston Martin. 4 receptions for 71 yards. Cedric Smith, 8 catches for 96. And Jack Ashby Jacobs, number 18, first career touchdown, and he had 5 total catches for 75 yards. Defensively, despite, let's say, the kind of gaudy score line, I actually think the Gales pass defense played about as well as you can against a unit as good as the Golden Hawks, giving up about 255 passing yards, but considering the potential Cal Wither and co. have shown, that's about as good as you're going to get against a team like Laurier. And, well, it's good because they're going to need it again today against the nation's top passing offense here in Toronto. I also want to highlight the performance of number 52, Ollie Jackson. OJ had a key early sack to shut down a Laurier drive. He batted a ball back to Cal Wither, who actually caught it and was promptly tackled up for a loss by OJ. We also saw a first career interception for number 6, Ian St. Arnaud. In the third quarter, Cal Wither scrambled and tossed an errant pass over the middle, and Ian St. Arnaud made a beautiful diving snag to tally interception number 1 in what could be a very long and promising defensive career for number 6. Lastly, Justin Pace is leading the nation in total tackles, but I know he's going to have a chip on his shoulder today after missing a few key tackles last week against the eternally elusive Tayshaun Jackson. Let's talk about the bad. Execution errors. More specifically, the tackling on defense was below the program's high standards, and it had an impact on their run defense in particular. I can cut them some slack, given that nobody has really been able to tackle up explosive players like Ethan Jordan and Tayshaun Jackson all that well, but still, it cost Queens dearly. Additionally, Vraken made his first real error of the season in the third quarter, a pick six that gave Laurier momentum and increased their 2-score lead to a 3-score deficit midway through the third quarter. Look, there weren't that many mistakes, but any mistakes against top-level competition can be drastic for your team. And, well, let me be honest, the ugly really came down to special teams kick and punt coverage. It was hard to watch, guys. This Gales team gave up a 98-yard touchdown return to Tayshaun Jackson, but if it weren't for a couple holding calls on Laurier, they would have had at least 3 other 70-plus yard returns. Really surprised by the punt and kick coverage efforts last week. I know it's a top-tier team you're playing, but that is uncharacteristic for a Queens team that has traditionally been so dominant on special teams. So there we go. There's my little breakdown of last week. And, folks, we could be in store for another gaudy offensive day here in Toronto. You may be hearing the PA announcer enthusiastically welcoming the crowd. Let's talk about the Varsity Blues. Their offense is led by quarterback number 17, Scott Barnett, who threw for an OUA record 614 yards with 4 touchdowns and just 7 incompletions in the first week of the season. That is insane. That is an OUA record, and that is just impossible to conceptualize. His top 2 receivers, Chris Joseph, who in that first week game had 19 receptions for 310 yards and 2 touchdowns. Jake Osine had 9 receptions for 158, and Thomas Roberts had 4 for 146. You may be hearing Twinkle Twinkle Little Star. Also not a technical error for me. That's their way to, let's say, suppress the hype as the Gales make their way onto the field. I don't think it's going to work very well. In week 2, the Varsity Blues drop a stunner right here on home turf for the Waterloo Warriors, thanks in part to an OUA record 58-yard field goal from rookie kicker Evan Astolfo. Astaghfirullah, Evan. What a kick. What a kick indeed. 58 yards to send it to overtime, where Waterloo would close it out with a 26-23 win. And then, perhaps most consequentially for the Blues, they lost last week to the York Lions in the Red Blue Bowl, also in overtime, albeit on a failed 2-point conversion. So a 1-point loss, 33-32. But against your primary rival, always stings all the more. I don't have to tell you fine folks that. We're Queens fans. We've been struggling to get it done with our primary rival for the last little bit. And I will just make a quick note. couple Queens players in the end zone, just taking a quick moment. This is a team that does have a lot of athletes that are very faith-driven, so I think it's cool that they are gathering together for a quick little pre-game moment there. Now, let's talk about this Toronto team kind of overall. They have some strong pieces on defense, but I don't think this defensive unit is quite on par with what the Gales have. So it's going to come down to which offense can put up points in abundance. These teams, they've got that ability. Can Toronto, led by their fourth-year MVP-caliber quarterback, crack this Queens defense? Or will the Gales do what they do best, harass, harangue, hit, and hurt the quarterback? Let's talk about the head-to-head history between these two teams. This is a rivalry with nearly 140 years of tenure. The first game took place in 1887, and these two teams have spent the better part of the last 70 years trading victories and titles. Toronto actually won the inaugural Vanier Cup in 1965, so the first recognized official national champions in Canadian football history. The Gales followed up with their first in 1967. These were two of the strongest programs throughout the 60s and into the 70s, but conference realignment in the 1980s separated these two squads. During that time away, Toronto won their, to the time of publication, final Vanier Cup over the Calgary Dinos in a classic in 1993, just 1 year after the Gales swamped St. Mary's in 92 to take the title. Since Queens has returned to the OUA in 2001, Toronto is yet to tally a victory over their old four foe. In fact, the last U of T victory over the Gales came here in Toronto in October of 1975. Nearly 50 years, the Varsity Blues faithful have waited for that joyful final whistle. This might be the best chance they've had in quite some time to hear it. Look, the 2000s was ugly for Toronto. We can be very honest about that. It was a program that was really struggling. They had the longest losing streak in Canadian sports history, but this is not that team. In fact, since 2019, the Varsity Blues have been a consistent playoff threat. And I'm just telling you, this could be an explosive, outstanding contest, maybe the best since the Pierre Trudeau era. So what I'm trying to tell you, folks, is don't you dare touch that dial, because we are in store for fireworks, animosity, and potentially history, all that, and oh so much more. I once again want to thank our title sponsor for Gales Game Day 2025, our friends at the Grad Club. You gotta swing on down. It's the best place to take in game day action up on the big screens, CFRC on the radio. Hey, what more could you ask for? I'm going to play another word from our sponsors, the Grad Club, and then a bit of music. But the next time you hear my voice, we will be prepping for kickoff from Toronto's Varsity Stadium, one of my favorite venues in Canada, right in the heart of downtown. But until then, my friends, let's hear another word from the Grad Club.
Located in the heart of the Queen's University campus, the Grad Club is a premier destination for concerts, events, and private gatherings in the city of Kingston. The Grad Club and its staff pride themselves on creating a safe, inclusive space for all. Interested in booking your next event, function, or study group? Head to thegradclub.ca for more information. That was a pregame show. Coming up next, kickoff and first quarter football action brought to you by the Grad Club.